Elizabeth Dussault. You're listening to Local News Matters. This week, we have a special report from Yerba Buena Island. It's that tall rock halfway between San Francisco and Oakland where the Bay Bridge turns into a tunnel. I met up with ecologist Josiah Clark at the end of a long workday. His restoration team had just cleared a bank of invasives from the Crescent Beach at Clipper Cove. We sat in his truck and talked about what it takes to hold on to diversity in the urban landscape.
You know, when you start getting environmental work, I mean, it would be so easy to get grim and, you know, everything feels kind of hopeless and dismal. You know, there's so much of that. And I try not to really focus on the politics either. I think that there's enough just beauty and kind of productivity and robustness in nature to kind of carry the story through. You're over here?
Yeah, I parked illegally, I think.
Josiah is the director of Habitat Potential. They work constantly to protect native flora and fauna in some of San Francisco's most iconic parks, like Golden Gate and the Presidio. In order to preserve native habitat, they have to identify every single plant and decide whether it stays or goes.
Habitat restoration is amazing because we get to kind of be a part of all of it, and you end up learning about things that you never really intended to learn about because you have such close proximity to the land.
Are you sure you didn't?
They're battling for birds and butterflies by making sure their habitats don't get crowded out by plants that they can't eat or nest in. Blake Sugarman is one of the crew members.
The non-native leaves don't really break down as easily because the decomposers they evolved with aren't here, because they didn't evolve here. Yeah, and we don't have enough koalas to eat them all.
The team was covered in sweat and leaves as they loaded their equipment onto the truck.
All right.
Their tools were chainsaws, machetes, axes, shovels, rakes, hooks, bolt cutters, and band-aids. Their never-ending battle was like hand-to-hand combat.
And we get to be that mechanism, I mean, and very much mimicking the disturbance regimes that would have always managed these lands. I mean, mimicking fire and mimicking wind and mimicking browsing by animals that maybe aren't here anymore or fires that can't happen anymore. And we're losing huge parts of our green space to these invasive plants. And to throw your hands up really just means that by the time someone else decides they are going to deal with it, it's just worse.
I asked Josiah to paint a picture of how the island might have looked 300 years ago.
These trees were probably brought here by first people, almost for sure. And then they lived here and they would have tended it. It would have been a lot of coastal scrub in these oaks, which they probably planted, all these little oaks that we see, the coast live oaks, the Quercus agrifolia. Oh, I mean, I think you would have been hearing probably a lot of seabirds. You would have been hearing a lot of sea lions. We'd be probably hearing the waving of the grass in certain places. And certainly different songbirds in the spring. In the springtime, there would be a lot of songbirds around here. And some of the things we would have been hearing are like that local dialect of the Nuttall's white-crowned sparrow.
Is that only heard on this island?
It's a factor of isolation. It's, you know, say island biogeography. And as you get these local groups, their song becomes different. Now, you know, there's slender salamanders out here and banana slugs. You can imagine that it was a very long time since they were connected to the mainland. There are a few species here that are pretty uncommon. Say, scrub jays. There's just a few jays left on the whole island.
What's the most endangered thing?
I found, I think, the last remaining individual of California goosefoot. And since that time, it was a fire, and it was so hot that it just fried out a lot of the understory and killed a lot of the native vegetation. So since that time, we've been kind of fending off the invasive plants that really wanted to come in, kind of like an infected wound, you know. A fire, a disturbance in the land is where you can get the really nasty plants, the Bermuda grass and French broom and Erharta erecta, these nasty grasses. So we deal with over 100 species of invasive plants out here easily.
What is there to the argument that, you know, the world has just evolved and there's just new plants that are more adapted to the space.
You could. I mean, and if you like everything eucalyptus and fennel, I mean, we know what that leads to. I mean, that's like the Oakland fires.
Like,
I mean,
what would be the consequence of that?
Well, I mean, that you have like all crows and starlings and house sparrows, and you'd lose a lot of things like white-crowned sparrows and bush tits. And yeah, we could say that we just wait and let the Golden Gate Bridge fall down. You know, it's just going to happen anyway, right? Like the Mona Lisa, come on, that's a really old painting. Like, why should we spend all this time to make sure it doesn't just disappear? Because that's what happened, like our civil rights. If we're not constantly protecting them, constantly holding them up, identifying things, targeting things, having projects, following through, following up, coming back, doing it again. I mean, it's just how it's always been. It's like the same story over and over again. We just have to keep on fighting to keep the beauty around and to stop the kind of forces that want to just turn everything into a monoculture and these invasive species that do kind of take and sequester all the resources for themselves. This kind of top-down, non-trickle-down type energy in the ecology that happens in the system. And so what we were really doing is trying to preserve a lot of that native biodiversity and those old traditions, right? I mean, you know, what they say is, you know, in the future, we will really be judged not on what we created, but on what we chose not to destroy. Those beautiful memories that we have and traditions that we have from our past. And that's something that we can see happening all around the world. And I think what we see here is a little part of that.
That was a conversation recorded on San Francisco's Yerba Buena Island with ecologist Josiah Clark. I'm Ruth Dussault. This has been a production of Radio Sausalito and Local News Matters.